across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 in the morning on this Monday, March 11th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on social media, through the Civic Media app, or on demand as a podcast. Glad you are here to get your week started with us. I've got a question for you. Out of the many acting performances that were given reviews and accolades over the weekend, which one was most noteworthy to you? Was it, you know, Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling as Barbie? Was it the folks from, you know, Oppenheimer? Or was it that Republican from Alabama who delivered the State of the Union response? I think her acting got talked about more than anybody else's over the weekend. But we will talk a bit about the Academy Awards as well coming up for folks who watched it or who didn't and want to know what exactly took place last night. We'll try to fill in some of the gaps for you. You can reach us with questions or comments about any of that throughout the course of the day at 855-75-CIVIC. That's a new phone number. 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. You can call that number, you can text it, or of course, use the Civic Media app or send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right, we're going to be joined as well by Kristen Lyerly. We'll talk a bit about the Oscars. There's also a new effort to have Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss recalled from office by fellow Republicans. We'll get into that a bit. In our second hour, we'll talk to our friends from Motherhood for Good. It's another Motherhood Monday, and we'll be talking to a mom named Brittany, who's a full-time nurse practitioner, a bakery owner, a mom to two kids, and also running for village president in her community. We'll have Selena Heller here to preview some stories she's working on for Up North News. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be here with three things you need to know to start the week, plus the return of meteorologist Brittany Merlot after being off for last week. So we're happy about all of that. Let's see, we're going to have a warm few days here. There is an elevated risk of fire in the forecast because of the warmth and the winds and the dryness. We're starting in the 30s and some 20s by and large this morning, but we are on our way to 60s for a large swath of Civic Media land. Lake Wissota is at 34 degrees right now, Hayward 25, Park Falls 33, Wausau 24, Green is at 27 degrees, La Crosse is at 40, while Wisconsin Rapids is at 30. Oshkosh reporting 30 degrees, Madison 34, and it is 30 degrees in Waukesha, where we find Mr. Greg Bach, who is here on Central Daylight Time. Both of us under protest, given the lack of sleep we got this weekend. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm a tired Greg Bach. I want to go to sleep. But I'm happy to be here.
And we are happy to have you. And I found that the best way to adjust to the time change last night in order to get some sleep and get enough of it was to basically be up pretty much all of the previous night, the night that they changed the clocks. we had to get up super early to make a long drive back to Wisconsin. So we were up for big chunks of that night. Now you're telling me you were too. So, you know, makes it a little bit easier to adjust when two nights ago, you just decided to power on through the night. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like dealing with jet lag. You can't get off the plane and go right to sleep. You have to adjust, and then finally, just wear yourself out. So I got home at super late on Saturday night / Sunday morning, and I looked at the clock. I'm like, I'm just gonna watch it turn to 3, and I did. And then I woke up at 9:30, ready for a birthday party with a bunch of kids, and that got rescheduled. I'm like, well, I'm not going back to bed now.
Yeah. You're up. It was, yesterday was kind of a slow motion day, understandably. But then at the end of the day, I found it rather relaxing to just throw on the Oscars. And, you know, this was one of those years, most years would be like, I didn't see any of the movies. But I actually did go see, you know, Oppenheimer. I did go see Barbie, and I'm familiar enough with a couple of the others that I could follow along this year. And I thought all in all, it was a pretty good show. As a stand-up comic, you would know when Jimmy Kimmel hosts, and I think, is this like the third year in a row he's hosted?
Yeah.
His jokes can be rather cutting, and I definitely saw people on social media go, he's mean. And it's like, well, yeah, I totally see where people, if you don't either know or appreciate his brand.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have made the Robert Downey Jr. jokes to his face about his past drug use, you know, because that's not a good thing. And he was able to overcome it. But for Kimmel, that's still, you know, fair game after all these years, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if it was that bad, ABC wouldn't ask him to do it. And that's how I felt with Ricky Gervais and the Golden Globes. I think he hosted it 5 times. I'm like, if it was so bad and there was such an uproar or outcry, then they'd say, no, thank you. We won't have you back, because it just makes it a little unfun for the audience, who, let's face it, are a bunch of sensitive actors.
Right, but they also are very rich and famous sensitive actors who they figure, you know, aren't going to do anything about it. Oh, wait, Will Smith just got up and started walking toward the stage. Never mind. Let's move on. I think a special award should have went to John Cena for the amount of near on-screen nudity that he endured for a bit. So good on him.
What?
During the Ryan Gosling This Is Ken song, again, gold star to Ryan Gosling for playing along with, you know, the character and just going along with everything. And my wife texts me because she had to work yesterday, and she says, I was expecting more shirtlessness from that particular number. And I said, I think John Cena took care of the shirtlessness and the pantslessness for everybody, just coming out wearing nothing but an oversized Oscars envelope that he was strategically holding in place.
He is a man who can be, he's very, I mean, as he should be, he's got a good form. He's worked really hard to look like that.
He's worn less in the ring with the Speedo and everything, you know, but still, it was a funny bit. They were making fun of how it was 50 years ago that you had a streaker going across the stage during the Oscars when David Niven was at the podium.
Yes.
And so John Cena was supposed to go along with it, and he was being too shy to move the envelope. But I thought that on the whole it worked really well. I don't have anybody to really roast for red carpet fashion except Ariana Grande, who apparently did not get the memo that when your airbags deploy, you know, you should take your car or your dress into a mechanic. It looked like the sleeves on her dress were borrowed from the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I don't know. It looks like a sweet little prom dress. Let me see. Maybe I'm not seeing. Oh, my God.
Okay. You found what I was going to say. With sleeves that looked like tires from an airplane, maybe?
My goodness.
Yeah, that was something. And I loved the way that the final award for Best Picture, they always bring out somebody who is especially, shall we say, senior. And it's, you know, so sometimes there's a little, it doesn't go maybe as smooth as you'd like. And this year it was Al Pacino. And he's like, yeah, I'm here. And I guess I'll open the envelope here. And says Oppenheimer. Yeah, I guess it's Oppenheimer. Everybody's like, is he serious? Is this a La La Land situation? It's like, nope, that was it. That's how Al Pacino does it. Like, oh, open the envelope. Yep, says open.
Some of you may think that I'm on my way to having my first great-grandchild, but I just had a new baby. I'm older than all of you.
And he's got a new baby.
Him and Robert De Niro's new baby can play together.
Yes, I know.
So weird.
I'm so tired. I get tired just thinking about it. I think the thing that most people are talking about is Jimmy Kimmel having the presence of mind to read Donald Trump's tweet or, you know, post on his tiny social media
network. His truth.
Reading it. Yeah, his truth. Reading the Trump post right after Trump put it up. I mean, he read it word for word. You know, Jimmy Kimmel's a loser and blah, 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 blah. And at first people didn't like, because nobody has Truth Social, so they're like, is this a bit? But as you continue to read it, you're like, oh, no, this is actually Trump. It's clearly Trump. And He had just the best line when he said, "Oh, thanks for watching, sir. Isn't it past your jail time?" The crowd loved that, and I think that Trump sometimes does not appreciate. I mean, yeah, he gets attention, but he's getting increased amounts of attention as in the form of mockery. You know, for somebody that wants to peg Joe Biden as old and confused, you know, those rants and those recent speeches, he's not helping out his own case. But he did help get a big laugh at the Oscars. So we got that going for us.
Best writing goes to Donald Trump at the Oscars 2024.
That's right. I was actually at a snowboarding tournament on Saturday over the weekend in the Twin Cities on one of the few hills left where they're still making and trucking in snow. Some friends came down from Canada. Their young son loves to go to, you know, he's quite competitive in snowboarding. And so it was really weird to stand out on the bare ground and, you know, bare ground everywhere. And, you know, it looks like, you know, late winter, early spring. And and then you just look at this hill and it's just completely snow covered in just this one area. Yeah. And these, you know, kids coming down there. But I was glad they were able to pull it off because, again, it was, I think it topped out at 40 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be mid-60s for the next several days. So I think that was really, that was it. That was it for winter activities here. Because if any snow does come at this point, like, no.
It'll be gone. It'll
be gone in just a sec here. Hey, it's 6:17. Let's take a look at sports here on this Monday. Got a few things to cover for you. As we check in on the Milwaukee Bucks, they got their first victory on their California road trip by beating the LA Clippers yesterday, 124-117. The Bucks wrap up that four-game road trip tomorrow night in Sacramento. The Badger men's basketball team got beat by number 3 Purdue, 78-70. The Badgers head into this week's Big Ten tournament as really a mystery team. They were ranked most of the season. They climbed into the top 10 before losing 4 straight. They have now lost 8 of 11. The Big Ten tournament begins on Wednesday at the Target Center in Minneapolis. For the Marquette men, the Big East Conference tournament opens at Madison Square Garden for them with a quarterfinal game Thursday. The Marquette women's basketball team got trounced by UConn yesterday in the Big East semifinals. The Badger men's hockey team was knocked out in the first round of the Big Ten tournament by Ohio State. The Badger women are the number 2 seed as they head into their NCAA national tournament. And River Falls, just 2 games away from a perfect dream season as they advance to the Division III Final Four for the River Falls women's hockey team. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this bright and early Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
While we're traveling around the country, let's not forget our adopted state, California. Here's the band with another hit song, Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
And so goes another episode of The Lawrence Welk Show. Mr. Music Maker, born this day in 1903. He is a native of Strasburg, North Dakota. And long before he was famous on TV for his champagne big band music, he was working barn dances throughout the Dakotas, including some that my grandma and grandpa attended when they were growing up on a farm in South Dakota. Lawrence Welk, again, born this day in 1903. More in today's history lesson and musical memories coming up in just a bit here on Up North News Radio, where at 6:21 right now, I wanted to tell you about what's in our daily newsletter, but of course, to do that, I will have to find it and make sure that I've got a proper copy in front of me. There it is now. Christina Laurie writes this up for today's newsletter. A proper birthday party is an annual rite of passage for most elementary school kids. Unfortunately, throwing a birthday party isn't possible for a lot of families, with 15% of Wisconsin kids living below the poverty line. That's where Box of Balloons comes in, with 32 chapters in 25 states, including 10 in Wisconsin. The nonprofit works with social workers to identify kids under 12 who otherwise wouldn't have a birthday party, and sends them a birthday box filled with decorations, tableware, party favors, games, cupcakes, and a gift. Find out how you can help their effort. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. and sign up for our daily newsletter there. We'd love to have you as our latest subscriber. on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, some of the places where you can celebrate Pi Day this week, on Thursday. Pi 3.14 is always a good day to celebrate your favorite pies. And let's see, we also have the Vibes Only podcast that is out with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. Find out where you can get or go where you can get your podcast to get signed up, or go to couriernewsroom.com for more. All right, there is a new effort underfoot to drive Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from office. And it's not coming from, you know, where you might think. It's not coming from Democrats. It's coming again, like the last time, from fellow Republicans, a subset of fellow Republicans, right-wing Republicans, who think that Robin Voss hasn't done enough to help Donald Trump steal the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Organizers say they have now collected enough signatures to force a recall vote. They need 6,850 signatures to force a recall vote. They say they're going to turn in some 10,000 signatures today to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That, according to Matt Snorick, who started the campaign back in January, Voss has dismissed the recall attempt as a waste of time and resources. Then he engaged in the same kind of partisan bullying that he's been known for during his time in the legislature. He questioned the validity of the signatures, promising that a team he had assembled would, quote, evaluate each individual signature, which, yes, on the one hand means they're checking for the validity, but much like the recall petitions against Scott Walker, you can also see how those signatures might become weaponized and people might become targets for political communication. The recall efforts, they basically highlight the continued frustration among Trump supporters and how Voss responded to it. As you know, Trump narrowly won Wisconsin in 2016, but narrowly lost to Joe Biden in 2020 by about 21,000 votes. That count has withstood partial recounts, numerous lawsuits, an independent audit, and a review by a conservative law firm. And yet, Snorick and the others say that they think they are correct in their efforts to target Voss, who was first elected in 2004. He is the longest-serving assembly speaker in state history, holding on to that post now for just a little over 10 years. Some of Voss's supporters are saying, "Well, these folks are Democrats, or if they are if they aren't Democrats, then they're basically symbolic Democrats." And I'm simply going to read the reaction from Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area when he wrote, quote, "Voss emboldened election deniers post-2020 by launching the Gableman, quote-unquote, investigation, making Janelle Branchen the head of the Assembly Elections Committee, and more. But Voss couldn't produce their impossible endgame, and now that emboldening is backfiring, and this is entirely deserved." And that's exactly it. Voss was playing with fire. You know, he coddled the election deniers, and he tried to placate them, and then he tried to essentially ignore them or shunt them to the side, tried to give them lip service, basically playing with fire and not having the guts to do the right thing. And that is to stand up and say, no, the election results in Wisconsin are fair and honest, and Donald Trump lost, and let's just accept that and move on. But unfortunately, we live in an age where the folks who could be standing up to Donald Trump and the Republican Party won't do so. And that takes us to Alabama Senator Katie Britt. And we talked a bit on Friday about her uniquely creepy response to the State of the Union address. But then the story that she was telling about sex trafficking and migrants turned out to be not true. Because again, as we say all the time, when you can't win on ideas, you make stuff up. You tell a scary story about sex trafficking to attack President Biden, conveniently leaving out the part about how the story took place during the George W. Bush years. And it took place in Mexico, not the U.S. It took an independent journalist to figure out that Senator Britt was fabricating the details of the story and basically exploiting the very people she pretends to care about. The woman who was at the center of the story, which did happen, but again, 20 years ago in Mexico, said she wants politicians to basically stop using her story for partisan purposes. She said, "The work I do is not a game." But a spokesperson for Senator Britt said, "The story Senator Britt told was 100% correct." In other words, if we don't admit that we lied, we can keep telling the lie, I guess. But here's the worst part of it. Senator Britt was part of the Republican negotiating team that was working on a bipartisan border security and immigration bill. And they did it. They actually got it done. They had a chance to show that Republicans could work with Democrats, with both sides making concessions, both sides compromising. And then when Donald Trump said to blow it up so that everyone's misery down at the border could continue and give him something to talk about, she and the other Republicans just rolled over. Her speech on Thursday night could have been really big. She could have said, "I want you to call on my colleagues to schedule the vote on this bill. It's the best bill that could have come up in 30 years. Let's get it done. I'm sorry, former President Trump, but we're trying to get some work done. We're trying to solve some problems." She didn't. Instead, she made a Saturday Night Live worthy joke of herself, which Scarlett Johansson worked to perfection over the weekend. So congratulations, Senator Britt. You got your moment of time. You got your audition for Donald Trump. But the actual work that you could have gotten done is still languishing because you lacked that political courage. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next. Kristen Lyerly joining us along the way as well. You're up north. Here we had this nice, upbeat, kind of disco-themed welcome for Dr. Lyerly, and sometimes we forget that Dr. Lyerly is a doctor who has to do doctor things, and I have a text from her explaining the doctor things that she's got to go do, so we will not have Kristen with us, at least in this segment this morning.
Boo.
But we have the next best thing who's not a doctor, but he's here for you, Dr. Bach. As we try to give high five, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Trying to do high fives through the video screen on the double box.
High fives for good vibes.
Sure, that works. Yes, absolutely. So I don't have Kristen's doctor skills here to talk about this doctored photo of Kate Middleton. But
yeah, what's
I will
going on
say,
with that? I saw like a hubbub.
Uh-huh. And there's I just saw a alert come across my phone that Kate Middleton has now apologized and saying she's the one who doctored this photo. So to back things up a bit here, the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, she has been, shall we say, not seen. She's been under wraps. It's all this big mystery. They've just said that she is recovering from abdominal surgery. And I got to preface all this by saying, and of course, being, you know, married to a doctor too, it's like, look, patients deserve privacy. We totally get that. But you're also a public figure. So you have to straddle that. I mean, Greg can't just disappear tomorrow without telling us he's having plastic surgery. We don't have to tell you.
I'm gone.
That he is.
I'm back.
He right away shuts his camera off. Look at that. He can just disappear at will.
Pat, what would you get if you, like, really quick, if you could get one piece of plastic surgery right now, anything, what would you get?
Oh, you know, the extra stuff on the neck here, the double chin type thing. It's a family thing.
Okay.
I'd love to. I wouldn't mind doing that. So thanks for letting me point out my physical flaws. How about you?
You know what? I'm just trying to open up and feel some feelings and be vulnerable for the people.
And now you know my feels.
I would do probably the exact same thing. I'd probably get something to do with, like, just the wideness of this thing of my face.
of that melon.
Why do you think I have a giant beard? Do you think it looks good?
I was going to say, see, now you can pull that off, you know? I have tried a few different times, and let's just say Shaggy from Scooby-Doo would, you know, pulls off facial hair better than I might. But, wait a minute. We apparently have. The doctor is back from doing doctorly things. Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
Good morning. It's a boy.
She's like, okay. Have the baby yourself. I have to be on the radio.
Now, I did not give the details of your text to me, but clearly there was a baby boy on the way. So congratulations to mom and to Dr. Lyerly. So good work out of you. I suppose did that keep you up most of the night?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Greg and I were talking about that earlier, that we all have had late nights, and Sherry is actually at work. She got called into to work because of a situation, so she's got to do two call nights. So she was working all day yesterday on her birthday, which was not the original plan, but, you know, doctor's got a doctor. So we're glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad the timing worked out, because I really wanted to talk about Oscars.
Okay, are we talking about abortion access? Are we talking about women's rights? We're talking about the IVF. Oscars.
No, it's Oscars.
We'll get the Oscars.
We got plenty of time for all the rest here. Well, let's tie a bow then on the Kate Middleton doctored photo, because again, she was, and we were just talking about how she, Kensington Palace, said she had abdominal surgery. It was going to take a long time to recover. And when you're a public figure, especially a royal, that's not nearly enough, you know, and I know that patients want their privacy, you know, moms, women, they deserve their privacy. But when you're a public figure, you know, people are going to be wondering what's going on. So then she or the palace put out this photo yesterday of her with her kids and saying, you know, it's Mother's Day in the UK and blah, blah, blah. But people immediately noticed that parts of the photo looked doctored, looked photoshopped. And now she has just put out an apology saying, quote, I do occasionally experiment with editing. So she's taking blame for the doctored photo. But again, we still don't know where she is. We don't know. Did she doctor the photo because there's something really wrong with her? And you know, obviously, we all wish her well. It's just that it wasn't great PR, shall we say. Now, Kristen, you probably don't have a lot of celebrity patients come through. So, you know, maybe this isn't quite in your wheelhouse, but it is that whole matter of public figures balancing privacy.
It's true. When I worked in Green Bay, I worked at the hospital that's affiliated with the Green Bay Packers. And before every season, we would get an email saying, it is critical that we respect the privacy of our patients and that we're really excited about being Packer fans, but you can't talk about Packer fan stuff. And I think that's an important reminder to all of us, because, you know, our personal health information is so personal and must be protected. And as healthcare workers, that's our obligation. That's what HIPAA is all about.
Yeah, exactly. And when we lived in the Cayman Islands, and there, again, a lot of very wealthy folks come through, and Sherry would come out of a patient room, and the nurses or somebody would say, oh, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? She's like, yeah, it's a patient. That's all that's what counts, you know, and that's how it is supposed to be. One of the things that I'm changing subjects here to say that one of the things I really hate about Google that I have to go take care of while you two talk is that sometimes in the middle of whatever you're doing, it'll say you've been signed out. You've got to sign back in. So all of my notes about the Oscars are now hidden behind a screen that says I've got to sign in again. So Kristen, I did ask if you were going to watch the Oscars and help us take some notes. So while I sign back in, why don't you tell me what you liked and what you didn't like about it?
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I definitely texted all of my kids after Sean Ono Lennon gave a shout out to his mom, Yoko Ono, on her, I think it was, she just turned 91. Yeah. Isn't that crazy to believe? 91. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey guys, when you make it big, all I want from you is a shout out at the Oscars. Radio silence from the kids.
Aww. Like, <"Mom's>
crazy.
Aww, that's wrong. Placate your mom. That's what we're all told that, you know, make mom feel good.
It was sweet though. I thought that there were a lot of funny moments. I loved the Ken song. That was really just brilliant and fun. And the speech that the folks who did 20 Days of Mariupol gave was like, I was crying, like, oh.
There's always one speech at the Oscars where you're like, this is so much fun. there's so much suffering in the world. Yes. This is all meaningless.
Yeah. It does have, those little reminders from time to time. Andrea Bocelli and his son made a surprise appearance singing for the In Memoriam thing, which, again, it's not how I would have done it. I don't want the stage full of dancers. I actually want to see the people who passed away. But
that's how I felt, too. You can't. I felt like they're dead.
Yeah, yep. But what I saw on social media was a lot of Andrea Bocelli fans immediately just like, okay, total tears. Didn't see this coming. It was, a beautiful rendition of the song that they did. And yeah, so that part of it was really good. And the thing about the Ken number is that people were aware that there were certain, shall we say, injustices in the awards, especially when it came to the Barbie movie and who and what got nominated and what didn't. And Ryan Gosling, and I don't know if I can explain it quite right, but I mean, he you can see he gets it, and that he's going to do everything possible to defer to Greta Gerwig and to Margot Robbie and to everybody who made the movie work. But he's going to do it by being really true to the Ken role, as campy as it is. And he went total campy yesterday or last night in that number of I'm Just Ken. And the thing that I really appreciated was when it was all done, and it was really fun, and it was campy, and you could see all these very serious actors and actresses, and they've been working their craft for decades, and they've made millions and millions of dollars, and yet you could see in their eyes, like, I will never have a moment like that, where you can make an entire worldwide audience laugh at the campiness and make them join it. People were singing along to I'm Just Ken, and it was a really nice moment.
Part of the reason why that's the case, I don't disagree with you, Pat, but I think one of the reasons why that is the case is because Ryan Gosling on all levels is one of the most selfless. Like, I'm sure he has an ego. He's an actor. But if you watch him being interviewed, if you see him on award ceremonies, the way he can be so self-deprecating and putting himself out there to just be the butt of the joke. There's a lot of actors in that room who will never achieve that because they will never allow themselves to be that vulnerable on stage and allow an audience to truly laugh at them, but with them.
Yep.
And I think that's what makes him so special.
And the other Ryan like that is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Is also in that. Because, again, he can do the straight, dramatic stuff, but he's also Deadpool. And he, is just hilarious in podcast form as well. So, yes, again, a lot of it is presence of mind to not be too full of yourself, shall we say. So,
How about Best Actress going to Emma Stone instead of Lily Gladstone? The two of them were shocking. Neck and neck, and I love Emma Stone, but I really thought it was going to go to Lily Gladstone.
Well, she did too. Every year I kind of yell at the people who get up on stage and say, oh, I haven't prepared anything. I wasn't expecting this to happen. Your odds were 1 in 5. So maybe have something ready, just in case. But in Emma Stone's case, I'll kind of give her a pass simply because she did seem genuinely shocked that she won it. She shouldn't have. She's been getting all kinds of accolades for Poor Things. Sorry. Which is, I don't know that it's something I'm going to see after reading, kind of the plot of it. It's not.
It's a sexy comedy, Pat.
It's not really up my alley, but
with a lot of Wisconsin ties though, Mark Ruffalo and Willem Dafoe, both from Wisconsin.
There's cheese curds at one point. Someone's just like, just stop the president. Like they say Culver's and it's really weird. It's off-putting. Takes you very out of the story, but it's delicious.
I don't think that happened.
There was an SNL joke about that category saying like the Oscars were nominated or were announced and they said the best female performer and all of them are like, please not me, because they wanted Lily Gladstone to win so much. They didn't want to be the white lady who won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you see Killers of the Flower Moon?
No.
I don't have that kind of time on my hands.
Honestly, I didn't think I would either. I started watching it with Abe, my oldest son, and we got maybe an hour in and it was getting late and we were tired and we said, let's just watch maybe another half hour and then finish it up tomorrow. And all of a sudden it was over.
Yeah.
We were riveted, not because of tons of action. It was just enthralling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for what it's worth, it was, and again, I found it stunning.
And made for, I think, my favorite musical moment of the Oscars as well, is when I assume, I don't have the note in front of me, but those were members of the Osage tribe who were performing a ceremonial drum song. Really good. Really good. And I liked that moment as well. We were saying earlier, John Cena should get an award for wardrobe, as he was giving the award for wardrobe, wearing nothing but an envelope. So
it was really delivered well too when he got out there, and I forgot
was
what
that
he said,
a pun?
Like, costumes.
Yes.
He just said one word. And
it really was. And then people in the audience took video from behind the scenes, because as they were reading the nominees, that only gave them like 15 seconds to change him into something else. And so the lights are down, but you can see all these people quickly rushing from off stage, Jimmy Kimmel included, and they're working to put this next costume on him that he had to wear within 50. It was like a pit crew, you know, to get done. And I thought they did a really nice job of that as well. It really pulled off. I couldn't decide, though, if I liked the format of all the acting awards were presented not by one or two people, but by five former winners. So it was, and it was almost like a roast or a testimonial that these five each took turns talking directly about one of the nominees. So it's like, you know, Meredith, you are so wonderful and you are an inspiration to me. But of course, then she didn't win because she, you know, there were four other nominees in that category as well. But it was different. Greg clearly didn't like it.
This sounds like too much. Like, it's one person go on stage. Let Al Pacino give out all the awards next year.
Al Pacino. This is great. Gonna open the seminar. Oppenheimer. Yeah, I guess. Okay, I guess it's Oppenheimer. And that's it. Congratulations.
Did I win?
Oscar.
No. Good night.
Selena Heller joins us next, and we'll do today's history lesson and musical memories coming up in just a moment. You're up north. This whole bit would work better if Selena Heller's cat was, you know, swaying along to Bobby McFerrin as well, like the rest of us, but Whiskers is just taking up the entire camera there. Selena does. Heller joins us as well as we wish happy birthday to Bobby McFerrin, who is 74 today, born in Manhattan on this day in 1950. Yeah, right?
Super accomplished. This was not his only song. He, conducted the Minnesota Orchestra. He is a prolific musician.
Yeah, he stopped playing this song for a very, very long time because he didn't want to be associated as his only accomplishment.
Aww.
And yet here I am hitting the button on it yet again.
He does perform it in very different ways now. But he just, I get that. I mean,
oh yeah,
he's fantastic.
Let's see, we mentioned that singer Cheryl Lynn, who gave us Got to Be Real earlier, she is 67 years old today, Los Angeles native. More birthdays in a second here. Oh, yeah, Lawrence Welk was born this day in 1903. But I wanted to note that the number one album on this day in 1972 was Neil Young's Harvest.
Just that intro.
This, of course, is Heart of Gold. The album also gave us Old Man. And that was number one album this day in 1972. On this day in 1997, Paul McCartney was made a knight. He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth for his services to popular music. Mark Stein, that's a rather common name. So here's one where you know the group, you don't know the name. Mark Stein turned 77 today. This particular Mark Stein is the lead singer of Vanilla Fudge. See if you remember this one big hit from Vanilla Fudge.
Yeah,
That's not the Supremes.
It's not Kylie Minogue.
That's not the Kim Wilde version or any other. Vanilla Fudge's version of You Keep Me Hanging Out.
I saw Selena and Dr. Lyerly. They both were like, what? Who?
Yeah, Vanilla Fudge. It sounds like something I would eat. But
the Vanilla Fudge are some of the architects and godfathers of modern heavy metal music.
Yes, they are. Yep. So Mark Stein's 77 years old today. Here's another one where you know the group, you don't know the man. George Kooymans. I hope I'm saying that right. He's Dutch. He's 76.
Oy.
He was the vocalist and guitarist for Golden Earring. And again, 76 today for Golden Earring that gave us songs like this. Which is still on my playlist.
Boy, that reminds me of seventh grade.
Oh. It's still on my list. I have a playlist. If the playlist had a proper name, it would be Songs That You Turn Up to 11.
Yeah. This song is so good.
There's some songs you like to play really loud, and that's one of them.
Monday morning is the perfect time for a Spinal Tap reference. I love
Yes. I might have gotten the note wrong here, Greg. Did I give you Lisa Loeb to play in this segment?
You did, but I saw that you had her later on, so I have her loaded for whatever.
Okay, Lisa Loeb turns 56 years old today. And on this day in 1989, then 18-year-old Debbie Gibson went to number one with her second album, Electric Youth, which gave us Lost in Your Eyes. And this is also the anniversary. 3 years ago today, President Biden signed the American Rescue Plan into law. So as you hear the president continue to talk about how we've had the best economic recovery coming out of the pandemic of any developed nation, a big part of it was doing that very early on in his presidency, signing the American Rescue Plan 3 years ago today. Selena, did you get to watch any of the Oscars? Have any thoughts on it?
Well, I know you're talking about the whole Lily Gladstone, and so last week we talked about a little bit just around the kind of a little tie-in to the Ho-Chunk Nation here in Wisconsin and the importance of keeping their language alive, and that's exactly what Lily Gladstone was trying to do, and with her Osage, and her mom talked about her mom wasn't Osage, but her mom really wanted it to be learned in schools. And so that was kind of really important. So,
okay. There's another Wisconsin music type we're going to talk about in the next hour, but I want to go ahead and kind of hint at it is it American Idol that has a Chippewa Falls connection to it?
Yes, American Idol. Yes, CJ Rizlov is from Chippewa Falls. On the show, he said he was a nomad because he travels around in his bus. We can talk about that.
So there's pictures on my phone because he has played around Chippewa Falls, and my neighbors and friends, Art and Laura Hebert, were like, oh yeah, you've seen him. He was playing in the background at this. He was at their house at a birthday party. They're just kind of it was like a jug band, an acoustic. There was like a wash tub, and there was like a box of banjo or whatever. And yeah, he was one of them. He'd be on American Idol.
He was in a lot of groups, like a brass group and then a barbershop quartet. So he's known around here for like just out of high school. I think he was in a barbershop quartet. But now he got to show off his bus on the show, and they all were like, well, let's go and see this bus. So they went on the bus, all the judges, and they thought it was the coolest thing because he has a recording studio right in the bus. And he just travels all over performing music. And like he does it. I mean, this bus has become a big thing, but he got the bus in Chippewa before he traveled the country.
Right, but so
a lot of people know him around here and are very happy for him because he's going to Hollywood.
So we've got that. Selena telling us about the stories that she's working on for Up North News in our next hour. This is also, Greg, you're going to be happy about this. This is National Take a Nap Day.
Oh, baby, this is my day.
This is National Funeral Directors and Morticians Recognition Day.
I'll let Jane Matinair know. Her father was one.
And I'll bet that he's funny, because what I was about to say is, I've only met a handful of funeral directors and morticians. They're some of the funniest. They're not just compassionate, and they're compassionate in part because they're funny. They're good people, and I've met some really nice ones. So, we want to take some of the, you know, the leeriness out of recognizing these good people. And it's World Plumbing Day, recognizing again the need for sanitary water around the world. And this is National Promposal Day, to which, again, the old man here is just going to say no, not down with promposals. I don't know. Kristen, did you get a promposal?
We didn't do that back in the day. My kids haven't done that either, but they haven't actually gone to prom either. So if you know my children, please wake them up.
We have our friends from Motherhood for Good coming up in our second hour as well. Much still ahead on Up North News Radio for this Monday morning, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, somebody.
Pat, my Google just signed me out again. No, just now.
Yeah, mine did too.
Oh no!
First it did on the courier side. Now it just did on the Civic side.
Now, if you excuse me, I have to go wash some blood off my arm.